Well, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm. I know the bulletin says Kings, but turn to Psalm 139 as we deal with the glory of God's presence. I know many, many people have been sick, including myself, all week long. It's been a hard week this week, and I don't know what this stuff is, but it hangs with you, don't it? But I'm glad you're here in God's house this morning. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. The glory of God's presence. Psalm 139, we'll begin reading with verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. May God add blessing upon the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We know your word is life. And I pray today that life will come into each of us, Lord. We need you, God, in these last days. No doubt we're living in the last days before your son is to come. And I pray today would be the day that, Lord, our lives would change, that, Lord, we would not leave here the same way we came. I pray for your oil of anointing to be here today, that you would anoint me afresh and anew, that you would speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority, thus saith the Lord. I pray for your divine enablement, your holy unction. I pray for the many who are sick, Lord. I know there are many out of our church today who are dealing with flu and strep throat and viruses and stomach viruses. Oh, God, would you bring healing to bodies? For we know you're the great physician and you have all power. And you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So we lift up all those on our prayer list and all those who are home today. Thank you for each person here today. And I pray today would be the day that we will experience your presence like never before. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, may be seated. John Piper defines the glory of God as the manifested beauty of his holiness. He goes on to say it is the going public of his holiness. What is the glory? It's hard to describe the glory of God's presence, but the glory of God is the manifested beauty of his holiness. I love this verse, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And listen to this. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's the thought I've had all week. I want you to think about this morning. What you behold, you become. Now let that sink in for a moment. What are you doing right now? Are you talking to your neighbor? Are you looking around? Or are we thinking about Him? What are your thoughts right now? Is anything more important than who He is in your life? Think about it. It's a deep thought. What we behold, we become. If we behold fear, we become fearful. If we behold doubt, we become a doubter. If we behold loneliness, we become lonely. If we behold worry, we become a warrior. If we behold anger, we become angry. If we behold hate, we become hateful. If we behold faith, we become faithful. If we behold truth, we become truthful. If we behold love, we become loving. If we behold Jesus, we become more like Jesus. Amen. I love this old song, then shall we behold him. Oh, shall we behold him face to face in all of his glory. Oh, we shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face, our Savior and Lord. Where is God when you really need him? Have you ever felt like that God was far off? Why is it that we feel that way? God has never been far off from you. You may have been far away from him, but he has never been far away from you. A couple had two mischievous little boys. One was 8 years old and one was 10. At their wits' end, they went to their pastor because they heard that he was good about rehabilitating children who had been misbehaved. And so the pastor asked to see the boys privately, individually. The 8-year-old was first to meet with the pastor. The pastor set the boy down and he asked him this question, "Son, where is God?" The boy made no response, so the pastor repeated his question, "I'm going to ask you again, son, where is God?" The boy still gave no attempt to answer. The pastor raised his voice even more and shook his finger in the boy's face. And he said, "Son, I'm going to ask you the last time, where is God?" And the boy just jumped up. He ran out of his office, ran home, ran into his closet, shut the door. And his older brother came into the closet and said, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" He said, "Man, we're in trouble now. You think we've been in trouble in the past?" He said, "The pastor has lost God and he thinks we found him." Now, folks, I don't know about you if you know where God is today, but God is just as close to you as you want him to be. Amen? It's not that we've left God, but many times we leave him. Now, I've got three profound things to leave with you today. You might want to write these down. Number one, the places of his presence. The places of his presence. Now, the psalmist, he's talking with God here. He's not talking to God. He's actually talking with God. And he said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence?" Well, you say, "Wait a minute, Pastor, you know God is everywhere." Well, I do know that. So I want to give you three things real quickly. God is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. That means that God is everywhere at the same time. If I ascend up to the heaven, he says in verse 8, "If I ascend up to the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Has it ever dawned on you that God never has to go anywhere? I mean, really, he's always there. God is everywhere. Sometimes we get the idea that God is at church. One thing you need to know is that God is everywhere. There is no place that God is not. There's not a movement that but he sees it, a motive, but he knows it, a murmur that he hears it. Death, distance, and darkness cannot hide from God. It's a thrilling and at the same time a threatening thought, depending on your relationship to God. But what advantages are there to being in the presence of God? If God can be everywhere at the same time, and unlike anyone else, unlike, you know, Satan can only be at one place at a time. He's got his demons and everything, but God is everywhere at the same time. So what are the advantages of his presence? Well, let's move on. God is omnipresent, but God is also omniscient, meaning that God is all-knowing. Look at verse 9. "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea." In verse 7, the word spirit means God understanding and God knowledge. Have you ever thought about it? God has never said, "I don't know," because he knows all things, right? Now, why is that so important? What is the advantage? You want to know the advantage of being in God's presence? The places of God's presence is in the past, present, and future. He understands and he knows all things. He was there for you in the past. Amen? He is here for you in the present, and he will be there for you in the future. That's the advantage of knowing God's presence. He is here for you in the present. He's here for you in the future. You want to know why you can't let God down? It's because you're not holding him up. He's holding you up, and he will never let you down. Some people live their life like, "Well, I don't want to do anything to let God down." Well, you're not holding him up. He's holding you up. And the promise is, he'll not let you down. Has God ever let you down? No, but we let ourselves down. God's all-knowing. He knows everything about your past, your present, and your future. And thank God he wants to be there to hold us up. Amen? Amen. Now, we're going to go deeper. God is also omnipotent. Omnipotent means having unlimited power, able to do everything in anything. Look at verse 10. "Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The reason God can be at all places, at all times, is because He is unlimited in His power. It is a powerful thing to know that we are in God's hands today. Amen? Regardless of what comes our way. Folks, we need to remind ourselves today that we are in God's hands. Somehow, we take matters in our own hands and we think we can do better than God in our life. Are y'all listening this morning? Friend, I'm going to tell you, the best place you could ever be is in the hands of God. Amen. I remember singing that little song as a little boy. He's got the whole world in His hands. Amen? He is omnipotent because He is already there and He holds you in His hand. He has all things under control. That's the places of His presence. Now we're going to go even deeper. All this is pretty deep today. We're going to go real deep now. And I know the Lord gave me this today, and that is the power of His presence. Verses 11 through 13. Now it's very important that I say this. You don't need divine power if you're not obeying what God has said. It doesn't take a miracle to live in disobedience. It doesn't take a miracle. You don't need a miracle, right? Yeah. But what if you would obey God? What if you were to experience miracles in your life? Well, the Bible says in verse 11, and now, to me, this gets pretty deep. Look at verse 11 with me again. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. In other words, God takes the darkest hours and He turns them into light. Amen? When you are discouraged, His presence will see you through. When you're in darkness, it is not darkness to God. When things don't make sense and you can't understand anything, just recognize that God is present and He is omniscient. He knows all things. So why are you worrying about it? Hello? You know, Satan loves for us to worry. Amen? He'd rather you worry than worship any day. We are beholding our worry. I'm worried about this. How am I going to make it? What am I going to do next? Well, why are you worrying when God said, cast all your cares on me because I care for you? God cares for you. He loves you. Do you believe that today? He really does. Here's the power of His presence. Number one, illumination. That's what He's saying there in verse 11. God takes the darkest hours and turns them into His light. When things don't make sense, God can make sense out of things. Just recognize that He is with you. While you can't see through the darkness, He can. When you learn how to apply the presence of God, God will become a bright, living reality to you, seeing you through. Listen to this verse, John 1:4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Illumination. God, He's saying here that even when it's, He says, even the night shall be light about me. Because when you walk into the light, it don't matter how dark your day gets. Are y'all listening to me? Yes. Don't go to sleep on me. Recognize the fact that God is in control of all things. Even if bad things happen to you, God is still God. He's still on His throne. I heard about this pastor. He was excited about going to a young couple's house to eat Sunday lunch. And so he was invited there, and he's standing there, and a little young boy's standing there entertaining him while the mom and dad's in the kitchen preparing, getting the food ready to serve on the table. And so the pastor asked the little boy, he said, son, do you know what we're having for lunch? He said, yep, we're having goat. He said, say what? He said, yep, we're having goat. He said, are you sure about that? He said, well, I heard Mom say to Dad this morning, today is as good as day to have the old goat over. You know what? Even when things don't look good and things are said and things hurt us, the fact is God is still on His throne. He's still Lord of all, and He brings light to the darkest moments of life. It's a matter of how you look at things. You can look at all the wrong in life and get gloomy and get depressed and get discouraged, or you can turn your eyes unto Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Strangely dim, because He is the illumination. He brings light to the darkest of days. Oh, It's getting better. Now, y'all hold on. You got your seatbelts on? Young guys back there in the back, y'all got your seatbelt on? All right, here we go. I want you to get this. Incarnation. Now, you're talking about the power of God's presence, that God would become man, that God would become flesh. Look what he says in verse 12. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to thee. The greatest way I know how to describe the power of God's presence is in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's presence is in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that God became a man. Man was alone. He was in debt. He was head over his heel in deep in sin, in depression. But Jesus came and he rescued man. I'm here to tell you that's the light that came into the world. The world was full of darkness because of sin. The world, it was the darkest hour. It had been 400 years before since they had even heard from God. But all of a sudden, there's that a light from heaven that was shining down on that little manger scene. And God became a little baby, the incarnation. That's the power of God's presence. No longer was God far out there, but God was one of us. And the big deal with that, it's a big deal that he would become one of us, the Bible says, so he would be touched in every area as we are. So don't you ever think God don't understand, and don't you ever think God's not out there. You know, I've done a lot of funerals in my lifetime, and I've done a lot of funerals of sons. And I've always made this statement, God knows what it's like to lose a son. Yeah, God gave his son for you, amen? And I'm going to tell you, that's the purpose of the incarnation, that God became man so he could go to that cross and pay your sin debt. Now, we can sit back here in a padded pew in a warm building and just be sort of casual about our worship today, but there's a powerful God present here today. There's a powerful God present here today. There's a powerful God present here today. And we need to recognize that every time we come into this place, to recognize the fact that God is one of us, that God became human. That's very important that we understand that. That's the power of his incarnation. Jesus came to rescue us. And when you're lonely, his presence will cheer you up. People are lonely everywhere, but you can be lonely and not lonely if you practice the presence of God. Oh, praise God for that. You know, I'll just go out on a drive sometimes just to have a talk with Jesus because he's right there with me. Amen? Amen. He promised to never leave me nor forsake me. It don't matter what you're going through. Your word, his presence will calm you down. Your enemies are God's enemies. You understand that he's with you in every part of your life. Oh, but it gets even better. You say, preacher, it can't get any better than the power of his presence in that there was the illumination of light coming into a dark world, and then God became one of us. Oh, but he became one of us so that we could become one of him. And the word is indwell. Indwell. Look at verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Now, the word reins there is a Hebrew word. The word is kilia. It means kidney, meaning innermost being. It means heart, mind, spirit. It means kernel of wheat. Now, why would it mean kidney? You know what the real meaning of that is? Is that God knows your innermost being. He knows, hey, he created you. He knows everything about you. He knows how this body works. He is our creator God, okay? So I want you to get this. Looking at that meaning of that word, rain, it also means kernel of corn. You remember the wheat and tares parable? The wheat represents the living, that something's living. It's like, you know, the tares is just, it's empty. That's the difference. The tares is empty. The kernel of wheat has a kernel of a wheat inside of it. And the wheat represents the living. God created you in his own image to be like him, not like you. Hello? God didn't create you to be like you. He created you to be like him. Amen? Then why are we so much like us? Indwelt means to be permanently present in someone's soul or mind, to possess spiritually. God has come to indwell us, to live inside of us. So if you want to understand the glory of God's presence, listen, here's my main point, so get the main point. The glory of God's presence is that He would live inside of you. How is that, preacher? Well, God gets glory out of you. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 1:6, my favorite verse. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, I don't know if that lights your fire, but that lights my fire. That to the glory of His grace, He saved us. The glory of God's presence is the fact that He lives in us. Adam walked with God. Jesus lives in us. We have a Savior who lives inside of us. If we will ever wake up to the fact that we have a living God living inside of us, we'd have a spell before breakfast. Amen? Thank you, brother. Thank God that we have a living God. He is not dead. He's alive. And we are to live like He's alive. Oftentimes, we walk around like a bunch of corpses. We come to church like we serve a dead God. But I'm here to tell you, on the third day, He got up from the grave. And because He lives, we live also. Oh, I love this verse, Colossians 1:37, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, that's the answer. That's the answer. You want to know the glory of God's presence. It's the fact that He became one of us. That's the power of His presence. But then He would dwell in us, that He would take up residence in our life. That's the power of God living. Notice what He says in verse 10. And thy right hand shall hold me. When you're tempted, His presence will help you out. David knew temptation just like you do. But he said, oh God, You look upon me. Have you ever noticed how difficult it is to do wrong when somebody's looking at you? God's looking at you all the time. He knows you. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows us. He lives inside of us. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, amen, who teaches us the difference between right and wrong, between truth and error. He indwells us. We're looking for something outside of ourselves. Are y'all listening? We're looking for something better. We're looking for more of God. God's looking for more of you. Surrendered to Him, committed to Him. The Bible says you are complete in the Godhead bodily. You've got all of Jesus you need. The question is whether Jesus has you. Are y'all listening? Last, and I'm done, and that is the practice of His presence. Let's get practical here so we can practice His presence. How can you make this real in your life? How can you take this from the realm of theory and let it transform your life? Well, that's right here in this song. Are y'all ready for it? Wake up. This is important. If you miss this, you're going to miss the glory of God's presence. I'm telling you right now, if you and I would do these three things, it would transform us. Number one, look at verse 14. He says, I will praise thee. You need to develop a spirit of praise. Develop a spirit of praise. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. When you praise Him, God reveals Himself to you. Now, He's always present, but He manifests Himself when you praise Him. If you're having difficulty praying, begin to praise Him. You've got an ocean to swim in. And I mean, you're overcome with all kinds of circumstances and difficulties. Just begin to praise Him. I'm telling you something. He shows up. He shows up when you begin to say, thank you, Lord. Amen. You know one reason we don't praise Him? I'm going to tell you like it is. You know one reason we don't desperately seek God anymore? You won't believe this reason. Because we're so blessed. Yeah. I'm afraid what's going to happen in America is that God's going to allow the rug to be pulled out from under us so that we'll recognize how desperately we need Him. You see, we are a self-sufficient people now. We don't need God. Most people, they live their lives without God. They do. They don't even think about Him. I'm amazed. I drove out this morning, and I looked over at the golf course, and there was a man. It was just raining. He's getting his golf clubs out, and he's playing golf. What you behold, you become. You know what? It's up to you and I to make our mind up today who we're going to live for. And if you're going to live for this Savior, then you need to be thankful. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Amen? Amen? Oh, I can't get over Him. I mean, the more I think about Him, the more I want to shout. I mean, the more I think about Him, the more I want to just have a spell before breakfast. I mean, the more I think about what a wonderful, precious, great, mighty, awesome God that we truly have. How can we not praise Him? How can we not thank Him? I don't understand it. I mean, you say, preacher, because the world has weighted us down, it's hard to be thankful to the Lord. Well, give all your weight. Give all the circumstances. Give all the darkness. He said, the psalmist said, even in darkness you are light. I don't care what comes your way. Develop a spirit of praise. When you're tempted, His presence will be there to help you through that, regardless of what you're going through. Worship is practicing the presence of God. If you can get this truth riveted into your soul, it will change your life. God is near, and we can bask in the glory of His presence. Just conscientiously think about who God is. You need to stop several times a day, the Bible says, and get quiet. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The problem is, I'll raise my hand. It's hard to be still sometimes, isn't it? Amen. To be still long enough to recognize just who God is. But if we could get still before God, God could speak to us. Amen. It'd save us a lot of trouble, amen? If we could just stop 10 minutes, have a quiet time, spend some time with God, look in His Word, get on your face before Him. Tell yourself, God is here. Tell yourself, God is here. Tell yourself, God is here, right here where I am right now. You say, preacher, is that mind over matter? No, because God is here. Amen? He's here. God's here right now. Develop a sense of purpose. I'm trying to help you to practical things that will help you in your walk with understanding the glory of God's presence. What I mean, well, look at verse 14. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what we are? Every one of us, we reveal the glory of God. When you know what? We are the greatest creation of God. That's right. We're the greatest creation of God. Did you know you give God glory? Yeah. Do you know the purpose of your life is to give God glory? That's your purpose. And by the way, church, when you understand your purpose, then you know how to live your life. Amen? Your purpose. You were not created for you. I know you think you were. I hate to disappoint you, but you weren't created for you. You were created for Him. Develop a spirit of praise. Develop a sense of purpose. Notice in verse 13, that Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, any mother knows, that a child is a miracle of God. I don't think there's any mother who's ever had a baby who thought, well, I did that on my own. No, I don't think any mother did that. That mother might have said, I did it with a lot of pain, but I'll tell you this, God was right there with her. And that child is a gift from God. Can I get an amen? Amen. That child is a gift from God. We need to understand a sense of purpose. The glory of God's presence is in us. He created us for His own, Isaiah 43:7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. We are the glory of all His creation. 2 weeks ago, I spoke of spiritual senses. And I said, every one of us have them, but we don't use them. They have to be developed. Well, here's how you develop that spiritual sense, by developing a spirit of praise, by developing a sense of purpose. And then last of all, develop a submission of prayer. Now, I know we keep coming back to this subject. Last Sunday, I thought Jim Scott did a fabulous job dealing with this subject of prayer. I won't ever forget years ago, I wanted to do something different in the summer. And at this church, we always had Sunday night services. And I wanted to do something like a summer revival, so I had different evangelists come in and preach on Sunday night. This went on for about 9 or 10 weeks. After 9 or 10 weeks, our church got the message. Now, this is the truth. I have never, ever, ever, ever met or talked with a preacher and told him what to preach in any church I've ever been in. Wouldn't have him if I could do it. Wouldn't want him. I had no idea what these preachers were going to preach. But for 10 weeks, we heard sermons on prayer. Every Sunday night, every preacher came and preached the same message. That was God speaking to our church, and it transformed us. And the church got serious about prayer because we knew we had heard from God. I'll tell you, I think our church is getting serious about prayer. I really do. We need to develop a submission of prayer. Marvelous are thy works, verse 14 says, and that my soul knoweth right well. Marvelous is the Hebrew word pala. It means amazing, to fulfill, to cause, to expound. Listen to this profound statement. Prayer does not equip us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. Amen. How did his soul know God so well? Because he was talking to him. Now listen to me. I want to give you something today that will help you. By spending time with the Father, you cannot have a relationship without time. You got to spend time with someone to have a relationship. Amen? I want to make sure you're still with me. Submit yourself to such time as possible in prayer, and you'll experience the glory of God's presence. Now, here's how it works. Sherry's been reading a lot about Corrie Ten Boom, and I've read some of her books years ago, but I've not read them recently. She's been talking to me a lot about her reading about Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom was a victim of the Holocaust, and she has a great testimony of how God worked in her life in forgiving those who caused her to suffer so. And she said this. She said, some people talk to God. She said, I've learned to talk with God. There's a big difference. Have you ever heard someone say, well, you know, my prayers never get above the ceiling? Well, that's part of the problem. God is underneath the ceiling. You don't have to shoot through the ceiling. You don't have to shoot your prayers to God. You don't have to pray real loud. You don't have to get beyond the ceiling. He's under the ceiling, okay? The point I'm making is if we would develop a submission of prayer, we would experience the presence of God. And by the way, church, there's never been a revival. There's never been a great awakening. There's never been a movement of God apart from prayer. Never. Never. That's why the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You want to practice the presence of God as a church? Be a praying church. Jesus said, make my house a house of prayer. He didn't say, make it a house of preaching. He didn't say, make it a house of singing. You know what? We could have a big group come here and sing and pack this place out, put chairs out, done it many times in churches over the years. You can get a big crowd for a singing. You might even get a big crowd for a preaching. You get the right preacher come in, then people want to come and hear whoever you got. Oh, this is great. We've got this great pastor coming in to preach. But you call a prayer meeting, and you'll have the smallest meeting every time in a church. No wonder we're not seeing God work. Amen? Amen? We've got it all wrong. It's not about the music. It's not about the preaching. It's all about the prayer. Amen. Did you know Billy Graham is not, I say this in love, he's one of my heroes. Billy Graham is not a great preacher. I didn't think any amens there. He preached a very simple gospel message. Never was it profound, never was it deep, but he preached to reap the loss. He was an evangelist. And Billy Graham, if you listen to his sermons, there's not a sermon that he preaches that he ever goes really deep in God's Word. Yes, I do think he's a great preacher, but I'm going to tell you this. What made Billy Graham a great preacher? I'll tell you what it is. There's a secret behind Billy Graham. He never did a crusade, never. I know this because I'm part of three of them, that there had to be, this was his rule, 5 years of prayer before he came to a city. 5 years. People pray. You know why all those thousands of people came and got saved? Because people have been praying them in for years. We think it was because Billy Graham came and preached. It wasn't Billy Graham. It was the power of God sent down upon people because people prayed. Friend, that's how it works. Somehow we got it all wrong. We got our focus. We're beholding Billy Graham. We need to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. We're beholding some great musician. It's not the great musician. It's the great physician. It's the one who has all power that can come and sit down in the midst of his people with great power to change lives. Now that power is here today. God's here. You don't have to pray so hard to get your prayer past the ceiling. He's under the ceiling. He's right here. He wants to do a work in your life today. Here's the question. Who are you beholding? What you behold, you become. What you behold, you become. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. No one looking around. What you behold, you become. Some of you are behold, you're all you're thinking about is your worry. So you become a worrier. Some of you behold fear, and you become fearful. I'm going to ask you today, would you behold the one who was the illumination of God, who brought light in a dark world, who was the incarnation of God, the one who became flesh? And listen to me carefully. The one who wants to indwell. He wants to live inside of you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's someone here today that God's speaking to your heart. You've been wanting for a long time to have a real, genuine, deep, abiding love relationship with God. And I'm here to preach today. There is such a one. Jesus came to give you that relationship. He died on that cross for you. He paid your sin debt that you could not pay. It don't matter how far you've gone. It don't matter how deep you're in your sin. I'm going to tell you, he can pull you out today. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is the glory of God's presence. He is the glory. He is holy, and he'll change your life today. All you've got to do is come. That's the invitation today. There's a song we're singing, Without Him. And without him, friend, there'd be no hope. Without him, there'd be no salvation. There'd be no forgiveness. There'd be no way that one of us could be right with God. Without him, there's not a prayer that can get answered. But I'm here to tell you, in Jesus' name, with Jesus, all things are possible. I'm going to pray with you right now. If you've never prayed this prayer, maybe no one's ever taken the time to pray with you. Would you make this your prayer? It's a sinner's prayer. Just ask him to come into your heart right where you're sitting. Just pray this prayer silently. No one has to hear it but God. He hears your prayer. He knows your heart. Say, dear God, just say these words. I believe in Jesus. I believe he rose from the dead that I might have life and have it everlasting. I know I've sinned. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of all my sin, to come into my heart and save my soul. And from this day on, I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.